as the Lord may help one, friends, I would seek to consider with you tonight some words we have read in the fourth chapter of the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and particularly the verse 17. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it may be we would also include the last verse, for it's so relevant. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And of course, we cannot, would not, we must not, not acknowledge the context in the foregoing, where we have those lines, especially from the eighth, beginning of the eighth verse, how it is with God's people. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Really, it's that verse, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, which seemingly pondering that and meditating, as Howard asked for the last hymn, well, I thought, well, the last hymn, 771, is very apt. But coming to this this reality of subject, friends, of things of those things of God's people's experience, which bring them to enter into and understand what the apostle states here, as he says, for our light affliction, for our light affliction. And I know, as there are those of you afflicted here, naturally, in human terms and natural terms, the affliction some have to have are not light. They're very hard. They're very, very grievous, sometimes very painful. But oh, and the apostle, of course, we know he had the thorn in the flesh. And we know he had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. But oh, he could acknowledge, and as he says, our light affliction, he is joining with these Corinthians he's writing to. And friends, so, as we are together here tonight, if we're in the spirit to be considering this in a true spiritual way, in exercise, well, friends, it's each one of us, as it were, acknowledging one with another our light affliction. You may say, well, you may even think what one, the poor minister before you, has had to know in the past, that part of last year after we came to you before it. And oh, naturally it was not light, it was not easy. But friends, by the favour of God's grace, God's people are able to acknowledge these things as light affliction. And I want to especially come to afflictions which are known spiritually. You see, every child of God has some solemn understanding and experience and knowledge of the affliction of sin. And we know, of course, all these things are bodily afflictions, bodily ailments and troubles. They're all the fruit of sin. When sin entered, and death by sin, So in the record of the word according to the Adam fall. And there we have it in the seams of some of those seams we sing, oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse has thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. And so, friends, the affliction of sin, and really, of course, all the things. And when I was in the hospital, I was thinking a lot of so many people there that we come to know were in the hospital, and when we had some conversation with one and another of them, and I would not want to boast this, but some of the conversation was not as good as some others. There was a man opposite me, I believe, who was a gracious man, and we had some good words together. But you know, sin has filled the hospitals, and all the troubles are all through sin. Man is drawn unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But you see, the Apostle Paul here, under the wonderful influence and teaching of the Spirit, he was not just concerned with the things of time, he was also concerned with the things relating to eternity, and the fact that all those that he preached to, he knew, have a never-dying soul. And friends, these things, of all what we pass through, oh, what will it be as compared to what we would have to suffer in hell for our sins? Oh, is it given us to so realise our light affliction through and under the teaching of the Spirit, that it will be, especially as we think of what we're saved from, and who, even the dear beloved Son of God, who suffered the punishment instead of us, of all our sins. Oh, our light affliction, oh, as compared to what we deserved and what we would suffer in a never-ending hell. So whatever it is that we have here is light compared to that. If we have hope in Jesus Christ, and we have hope and prospects of peace and sometimes foretaste of heaven, we are blessed then, and can, I believe then, come into understanding and considering, as Paul states, our light affliction. And oh, friends, especially when we're led to be considering the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of our peace, what he went through for us, friends. Our light affliction. This was much upon my spirit, friends, in my affliction. Oh, my affliction was even given me to feel it was light because of what the Lord showed me, revealed to me of himself, my dear Saviour, in his sufferings. Oh, in his sufferings in Gethsemane and in the judgment hall as he was ridiculed and spoken so rudely to, and on the pavement where he was beaten with the Roman scourge and taken out to Calvary and crucified. What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. And I believe in the most highest, most right and clear acknowledgement of this word, considering this word, for our light affliction, friends, well, as compared to our Lord, what he went through for us. You know, when, and I've felt it so many times, when it comes to the first Lord's Day, when we have the Lord's Supper, and when it falls to me to take and conduct the service of the Lord's Supper, when we come to, of course, thank the Lord for the bread, and oh, when we come to break it, it comes to me like this, the bread that we have and we break it. It's so the wonderful, typical type of the Lord's body He says, this is my body which is broken for you. And you know, as we break the bread, it comes to me knowing what I know in the things of farming, how it is so much that when it comes to harvest, the wheat to be separated from the ear, from the straw in the ear, the kernels to be brought out, broken out. Oh, it has to go through such rigorous treatment. Sometimes we've had a combine harvester blocked up and had to work in it, hard work to free the beta bars in and the way the mass of substance is trapped between the concave and the beta bars. And oh, then when we get it free and we start it up, and those beta bars flying round, and what it is, it's the process of thrashing that substance, the whole crop substance, the straw, the ear, and thrashing it so that the wheat goes through the concave and falls down to the grain pan at the bottom. And oh, what it has to go through in that way, the wheat. And what it has to go through when it's ground into flour. And what it has to go through when it's kneaded into dough. And then it's baked in the oven. Think of it, friends. Think of what your Lord has had to go through for you. Think of how he, and think of it in, even in higher terms, how he's bore the hell due to us, friends. He suffered the pains of that we would suffer in hell forever. Oh, that one, the blessed substitute, the Son of God, and how God the Father has laid on him the iniquity of us all the church of God. Oh, for our light affliction. Friends, if we are really led into this, and what we deserve, we deserve to be punished forever for our sins, but God, in great love and mercy, has so appointed it that he has punished the sins of the whole church of God in the blessed substitute, even his beloved Son. Think of the love. Was ever love like this? Of course, this is the highest, most holy, most wondrous thing of ever, friends, that the God, the great God, Jehovah God, God punished for us, his people, his dear beloved Son. God the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. Light affliction. For our light affliction. And as we, of course, have it here, in the context, and I want to just reflect upon it. You know, those couplets of statement, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, we're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, and this, friends, and oh, do you know something of this? Because Paul, with the Corinthians, he says, and he says, then he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Do you know this favour, friends? Oh, because I believe if we have been blessed and taught of God and sanctified by God, this will be what we will be led to be in the favour of it, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You may have to suffer much in your body, but oh, as you think of the dying of the Lord Jesus, surely that by the Spirit's favour will make your affliction to be light if you have that favour. If you are so blessed to have that favour, to be considering him. Oh, I think of some more words that come. Consider him who endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, but our Saviour did. Our Saviour suffered, bled and died in his people's room, place and stead. For our light affliction, you know, which is but for a moment. And oh, in this way too, friends, we know it's but for a moment in the sense, although it might be, I'm in my 85th year now, and you know, it's a long life we've lived, we've been favoured to, but you know, there's been much affliction in a sense over the time, various times, and some of you more maybe feel it. But oh, think of eternity. Oh, and think of what affliction we would have to suffer forever and ever. Light affliction compared to what we would suffer in eternity. Oh, to be in an eternal state of hell and in that eternal state of suffering forever. And, friends, light, well, supported by grace, are all the afflictions I know, I see, when I think of my Lord, the Lord of my peace, and what he has suffered for me. And, friends, thus, as the favour is, I believe, of course, the apostle, in coming to this point to pen these words, he is in the Spirit, and he is in the favour of the grace of faith in exercise. He believes absolutely what he is given by the Spirit to so write in this way, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, oh, but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And you know, the fact is, as I think in my early days before I knew affliction in the way we know it now, you know, although I was brought under the law of God and brought in guilty under the law of God, and it was the ministry in those first few years, a few tokens of God's love, times of favour, and we was raised to a hope. But you see, in all of that, that it was that solemn condemnation under the law which was given me to begin to know the affliction of sin and the condemnation of the law. But then when raised to a hope, and it was those lines of the hymn which first raised me to hope, we had it given out yesterday at our anniversary service, and it was our deacon gave it out where it comes in: the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, out of hell, think of it, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, it was the blood of God must be shed. It was such a great cost. We can never estimate the cost. Oh, what God Jehovah had to make the sacrifice. Think of the sacrifice of God the Father of his beloved Son. Think of the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, think of all what he endured, what he suffered. And think of, friends, what we would have to suffer if we are not saved by God's wonderful grace. Light affliction then, really, in a sense, there's not a comparison of what affliction we know, even those who know grievous affliction, if they have the blessed favour of faith and to believe in Christ and to know God's salvation, then surely each one can, as the Spirit favours them, and each one of us here I trust it is given us to be led in some measure into what Paul makes statement of here in these lines of these words of Scripture. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, work is for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Think of that. Oh, weight of glory. The great measure of it. The great wonder of it. Weight of glory. And what is it, the weight of glory? See, the happiness, the holy joy, the pleasures evermore. We've had it in the hymn. The prospect of being in holy peace and pleasures evermore at God's right hand. We are in the vein of tears as we go on in these days of our lives. But oh, the way of God in preparing for his people, that great blessed favour forever and ever for them to enjoy in holy joy and peace in heaven forever. To be with Christ, which is far better. When one was afflicted and laid aside, and some of the family were, I've said afterwards, because I got very serious infection, they said they really felt I was going to die. And I did have, for a few days, I had such trouble with my breathing, in that I was continually like, almost like hiccuping, but it was not hiccups, it was from further down. And I know I look very ill, I was very ill. But you know, God gave me a blessed day before I was there in hospital, where the Lord had so given me to really desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And he gave me the blessed assurance, gave me that to see it and feel the assurance that if I went at that time, if the Lord took me, he'd take me home and I'd be forever with him. And I really had that desire that would be my favour. But then the day afterwards, the Lord showed me that, like as Paul said, how he had a desire to depart, which is to be with Christ, which is far better. He then says to the church at Philippi, he said, but it was more needful for you that I stay. And I was missing these number of these engagements and preaching in the chapels, and I was feeling it very much, not being able to preach to the dear people that I love. Then it came like this, such a confidence that I would come through and I would be found in those causes, one and another especially. I missed several engagements, and the Lord showed me that that time would come when I would be there again. And the theme of the that which is such a reality of God's people happy in heaven, I could sing it from my heart with real light and confidence of faith. The people in heaven are happy, more happy than we are here on earth. But I could sing it with holy confidence, more happy but not more secure. The glorified spirits in heaven. And you know, I feel it even tonight. They're more happy than us, friends. But if we have faith in Christ, faith in the bleeding Lamb, if our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, then surely it's right there, not more secure, because our eternal salvation is secure in Christ. And it is proved by the way the Holy Spirit brings God's dear people to understand even such a word as this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Everything that God's people have to know and experience in their pathway, in the time state, in the veil of tears, will be for their sanctification and their preparation and to give them to be assured that it will be well while life shall last, and well when called to die. It worketh for us, and far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Think of it, weight of glory. Oh, the weight, the worth, the greatness, the eternal favours. Oh, the favours that are all laid up for those who God has set his love upon, and they are blessed to be favoured to love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. Oh, can we, do you feel it? I feel it tonight, even for each one of you. We wouldn't want to sow any pillars under our mouths. We wouldn't want to wrongly make any boasts, but the favour of really loving the brethren. You know that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And oh, how sweet that is, how blessed that is. So that here in this word, in this way, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it is as we have the favour, friends, of seeing by faith our Lord, hearing his voice. The Lord may so bless you to speak to you. You might have heard his audible voice. He may have said a particular word, he will seal it to you, bless you with some blessed favour word applied, even from himself. And you live in that way under the favour of it, and yet you still got your old nature, and we're still in the veil of tears, but oh, we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit working in us, teaching us, the Lord separating us out. We have to hold the things of this life in a loose hand. We know it is all passing. Change and decay, and all around I see, but God gives us this longing desire and this exercise. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. What a favour it is when you can acknowledge. And oh, how blessed, how sweet it is when we can acknowledge we have the Lord's abiding presence. In his presence I am happy. In his presence I am secure. In his presence all afflictions. We can easily endure. And oh, how favoured we are when we are given that persevering and enduring grace. You see, the way of God exercising his people as they go along, as they are taught, they're blessed to enter into such truths of the word as this, to know it by experience, to make testimony of it in that way of how Paul does here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and the working, our God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and this light affliction, which is but for a moment, it is this affliction worketh for us. We are sanctified in it, under it, and by it. Oh, it's for our good. You know those words in Job. He causes it to come. There's those couplets, for his land and for so on, and for mercy. He causes it to come for mercy. Even the hard things, even the very painful things, even the very difficult things that we're brought in a situation, we may have to lose. And like in, I think it's a verse in the last hymn we've chosen, may I bear my every loss, be patient under every cross, never may I my Saviour blame, though I'm despised, be despised by Satan, but for his dear name. But oh, what blessed favour to be in the favour. Satan may despise, he may harass, he may perplex, he may dismay, like we have the words formerly in the chapter. But oh, friends, oh, what favour it is. Oh, he's a chained foe. He's a mighty enemy, but he's a chained foe. And oh, the Lord is on our side. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in green pastures. He restores my soul. Oh, how favoured we are to so know it, like in that sweet short psalm, and the confidence of faith, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We will not want to be not in the house of the Lord here on earth, but oh, in that eternal home, that everlasting place of glory and felicity forever and ever, to be there forever and ever with our Lord, forever with the Lord. A hymn that my dear one and I used to sing together when we were in our courting days. We didn't understand the depth of it, friends, but we used to like to sing it. And oh, friends, the reality of it now to us, where we're in old age and infirmities come on, but oh, the blessed prospect. And here it is, secured for the Church of God through the sacrifice of Christ. The Church of God is redeemed. Oh, the favour, redeemed by Jesus' blood, redeemed. His beauty is called a trace. No angel can be more esteemed than sinners saved by grace. And oh, you see, coming to deeply consider these words for our light affliction, it was of course that the apostle, he was much thinking of Christ and his sufferings. And in a number of blessed clear statements speak, we preach Christ crucified. The Jews are stumbling block, the Greeks foolishness. Unto us who are saved, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Think of two in Acts we read, he has it like this, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, and saying none other things than Moses and the prophets did say should come, that Christ should suffer and be the first that should rise from the dead. Oh, and all what he came to suffer for, friends, and all what he brought in by his sacrifice, his death, and through his glorious resurrection. But too, friends, as we want to more consider a favour, our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, and it's looking, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I believe it means not seen with a mortal eye, especially that line of thought. But friends, what is seen? Oh, what is given in the eye of faith to this child of God? Well, we look back to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain. My soul looks back to see the burdens Christ did bear when hanging on the accursed tree in hopes her guilt was there. But you know, we look up, and we look up to our Lord in heaven. You know what a wonderful thing it is. We've spoken somewhat of his sufferings and death, and acknowledging his glorious resurrection, and the wonderful record of how he ascended up on high. He led captivity captives, and this, friends, this is how the child of God who is in affliction will be proving it, knowing it, acknowledging it as their light affliction, because all what they have in their affliction and their needing to pray and to beg of the Lord for help, they pray to their Lord, their God in heaven. And the thing is, friends, a lot of our affliction is through all our many shortcomings and our follies. But oh, as we pray to God, and God give us living faith and the favour to approach God, believe him. We shall have the petitions we ask of him. Oh, what are we really relying on? He who suffered, bled and died, but now is highly exalted in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. And oh, it's to him we look, and him we bow, and to him, to thee we look, Lord, to thee we bow, to thee for help we call. Our life, our resurrection, thou, our Jesus and our all. You know, it's this, friends. You see, for with you and me, when we're praying, our prayers wouldn't reach God the Father's ears, but for the intercession of Christ. And oh, what does he plead, friends? He pleads all what he suffered, all what he went through when he was here on earth. He pleads how he shed his holy blood. He pleads this before the throne of God. And oh, friends, it's this way that we are led in favoured times, like Paul was in a favoured time of his experience. Certainly he was, as he made this statement, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And oh, it is as we think of it. We think, friends, of what the Saviour is pleading when he pleads our cause in heaven. He's pleading his own merits. He's pleading his own sufferings, what he had attended to here on earth, when he, as he had said in those days, as he was, as it were, going with his face as a flint toward Jerusalem, he said to his disciples, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? And of course he went right through. We know in Gethsemane he prayed, that's perhaps I shouldn't say small, it's an acknowledgement of how he was in his holy humanity. How he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he knew, of course, it was not possible. And he said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will be done. And oh, he went right through. He suffered, bled and died on the cross. And you know, that is what your Saviour is pleading for you now. It's his own merits. It's his intercession for you and for me. And this is how I believe Paul was, as of course he was one who, as these apostles of the Lamb had been sent forth, and Paul of course later than the others, but oh, how he, with the other apostles, they were looking back to Calvary. Oh, it was all what Christ had attended to here on earth. It was always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And oh, our living Lord in heaven, our great high priest above, it is he, to him that we look to and pray to and rely upon. It is our Saviour, that we are blessed to consider. And when Satan tempts us and harasses us, we also can acknowledge and plead it, and he is pleading for us, that he was tempted, tried and tempted to, all to succour every tempted burden, son. Yes, high priest in heaven, Lord, our Saviour, our advocate, our mediator, our intercessor, the day's man who can lay his hands upon us both. Oh, considering him, and he there, and you think of it in that way, of his carrying on his people's cause above, and what he's pleading, his own merits for their salvation, and for their maintaining, God maintaining them, keeping them, holding them in life. He holds their soul in life. This is all through, of course, the life and death of the Son of God, and to what he's attended to now in those offices he holds in heaven. We look to him in that way, friends. We live upon him. We cast our care upon him. This is how we go on in the way. And so, in this way, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, it's living with the favour of the eye of faith, and it's living with prospect. You know, I many times felt it and said one to another of our dear friends, our brothers and sisters in the faith, that, you know, any religion that hasn't got a prospect is not a religion at all, really. Where religion has a wonderful prospect in it. It is that we have a prospect of peace, and we have foretaste of heaven. And you know, it makes us to be grateful, and it's pleasant. And we would ever be seeking to know it more and more, and to know it one with another. To be so living upon the Saviour's merits. While we look not, we look for new heavens and a new earth. Oh, we do. But while we look not on the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, the favour, friends, of being blessed, taught of God, to know the great favour of eternal realities. Oh, the things of everlasting. And friends, oh, what wonderful eternal reality is the everlasting love of God. Oh, God's love from everlasting, to his people, upon his people. And oh, the way of God's salvation to save us and make us ready and fit for heaven is everlasting salvation that he wrought and brought in by his sacrifice and death, and by his glorious resurrection he brought in even those high favours of God's love, even the greatest, highest favour of justification by faith. Oh, the wonders of redeeming love. And can we say it humbly? Very much it will humble us if we are blessed to be able by faith to say, the love of Christ to me. Oh, what wondrous love it is. Oh, the wondrous cross we see. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain. Of course, we all have to be involved in our daily lives, our business lives, some of us. And we pour contempt on all our pride. Oh, we do. By the grace of God, so we're blessed. So, friends, to leave it with you now. The word, I pray you may meditate upon it, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's to be favour with a prospect of everlasting peace in heaven. Amen.